And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and today we have a very special program for you. One of the responsibilities we all have is to disciple the nations, because Jesus gave us that important commission way back at the beginning. And to disciple the nation means that you got to go out there and you got to find the nations, you got to find the people that need to be discipled, and you got to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And as it turns out, friends, there's a huge number of young people who are incarcerated across this country. And I believe we have the largest incarceration rate for juveniles of any nation in the world. That is the largest incarceration rate, which means that we have the highest percentage of kids in prison in America than anywhere else in the world, which means, of course, for those of us who are commissioned by Jesus Christ to go out and disciple the nations, this is one more nation. This is one more area in which we have got to do the work. And there is a mission field. Fields are white in these areas. And there is a man who has dedicated his life to reaching out to these kids. And his name is Victor Marx. He's got a brand new documentary movie out called The Victor Marx Story. It was one of the runner-ups for the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival. That's how I got a chance to watch this thing. And we're going to talk with Victor Marx right now. He is part of the All Things Possible Ministries, and in fact, he runs that ministry, and he is now with me on the Generations broadcast. Victor, welcome to the program, my friend.
Kevin, thank you for having me on today, buddy.
It's great to have you. Man, what a story. What a story. God took you through an amazing story yourself in order that he would use you. I guess God wanted to use you, didn't he?
He sure did. And you know what? We stand there kind of amazed, because even everything that I've been through as a kid, it's hard to see how God can redeem it. And it's hard going through it. But when you're on the backside, you just stand amazed. And I mean, to that point, so the listeners understand what I'm talking about, my father was a drug dealer and a pimp who actually didn't claim me as his kid when my mom was pregnant. And as a result, my mother would end up marrying six times. I went to 14 schools, was in 17 houses, and at 5 years old, without the proper protection of, you know, parents there to watch after a kid, I was caught in between two chicken houses in 1970 by a child molester who assaulted me and left me for dead in a commercial cooler.
Yeah, he almost killed you.
He was trying to. He was hoping I'd freeze to death and not be able to tell what had happened.
How did they get you? How did they get you out of there?
Well, I didn't come home for hours, and they started looking for me in the woods, down by the pond. And finally, they came to this building in between these two chicken houses, opened it up because it was, you know, we were on a chicken farm for the summer. And when they went to the cooler and opened it up, they found me in there unconscious.
And saved your life. I mean, just in time. Yeah, if it had been longer, you would have been killed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because it was the middle of the summer. All I had on were these little overall cutoff shorts, no shoes. And hypothermia was setting in. I was unconscious. And then when they rushed me up to the house, and when I was able to, through chattering teeth, kind of tell them what had happened, they went and found the guy. Mm-hmm. They beat him in his home, hogtied him behind a tractor, and drug him behind my mamaw's house and hung him from a pecan tree. Mm-hmm. They didn't kill him. Mm-hmm. They cut him down when he went limp. But that was quite an impact on my life as a kid to never trust people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably had one of the most dysfunctional raisings of anybody. I mean, if we're talking dysfunctionality, there's a lot of dysfunctionality out there. I'm sure you've run into every form of it.
Yeah.
But your dysfunctionality was pretty dysfunctional.
Well, you know what? I laugh. I tell people we weren't even dysfunctional because we never functioned in the first place. And, you know, it's sadly more common than not in the culture we live in because people have forsaken, you know, the plumb line of living and morals and values from the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be some spiritual legalist. I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you start trying to bring in moral relativism and the wavering of truth of what's right and wrong, we're going to be in a world of hurt, and we are right now.
Victor,
and as a result, we're seeing that with our kids who literally, I mean, this culture of kids, their warehouse of their conscience nobody's putting in what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's all milky gray, and this is where we see just the dissolution of just moral and values, Victor, with our kids.
Yeah.
And why so many of them are getting locked up.
Back when you were born in the 1960s, when I was born in the 1960s, 6% of kids were born out of wedlock. Okay, 6%. That number's 42% today, and for gals under 30 years of age, 50%. That is the majority of children born to women under 30 years of age in America today, 50%, meaning the problem is 9 times worse than it was back in the 1960s, which means that your ministry is going to be very busy for a long time.
We've been at this 10 years. You know, before this, I was on staff with Focus on the Family as an assistant to Dr. Dobson. Loved the ministry, had a great tenure in there. But God led us into this, and when he did, we were shocked by then just about the enormity of the problem then. And then it has only gotten worse in many ways in regards to kids being more violent. And again, their conscience is becoming seared. So they're killing, they're raping. I just posted a picture on my Facebook yesterday. I was in Hawaii this past week. We were doing outreach there, and I posted a picture of a small little kid, and I was signing a book that I wrote to him. Someone snapped a picture, and people came on my Facebook and said, "What? Certainly that kid's not in jail." I said, "Not only is he not in jail, he's in a maximum security prison for youth." And they said, "Well, what for?" And all I could say was, "You know, he's a felon."
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, my heart breaks for these kids. Yeah, they're responsible for their actions. I don't take anything away from them, and I tell them, you know, you break the law, you do wrong, you're going to have to pay the price. But, man, aren't they worth saving? Aren't
they
worth reaching out and letting them know that God loves you, he created you, he's got a plan and purpose for your life? And the cross is what will bring you into a relationship with him. God's Spirit will empower you to live a life beyond what you ever thought possible to break the cycle.
And, Victor, your life is a testimony to that. If anybody had looked at you back in the 1970s, I'm sure they would have thought, damaged goods, man, no good, nothing good here, nothing good. But your testimony renders so much hope to so many people. Because, you know, for Romans 8:28, you know, all things work together for good. And you look back into that ice house, and you think to yourself, all things work together for good, Lord. Everything's going to work together for good to those who love you. Man,
brother, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I've clung to that not only for my past, but even in my present. When things get rough, I go back to the truth, Lord. I know that all things work together for good for those who love you, and that's what I tell kids.
Yeah.
Listen, bad things happen, injustices happen. We live in a fallen world, but the way for God to redeem it, you need to love God.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people that bad things don't turn out good.
Yep.
They get worse.
Yep.
So it is so important that we are giving the simple truth. I mean, I talk to kids, Kevin, who David and Gahu? No, who was Noah? Was he a veterinarian?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as far as people giving up, a lot. I mean, many people do. I speak in churches all over the country, huge conferences, and people's mouths still drop when I say, "What happens to a kid when they get kicked out of a school, or they get put in a detention center, or they get sent someplace for years?" And people don't know. I'm like, you know, just a couple of years ago, our incarceration rate was 300,000 kids in a year.
Yeah, huge.
And people. Just Christians go, didn't know. And as far as people writing these kids off, you know what? I mean, that's how it was for me in many ways. Mm-hmm. I ended up having 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. I was on Depakote, Tepakine, Prozac, Zoloft, Lithium, you know, because I had a stepfather who was a convicted murderer. I had another stepfather who was importing drugs, got arrested, put in prison, and escaped, and ended up on NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw. My grandfather, one of them, died in a hospital. My other grandfather shot his wife and killed himself. This is in my life.
Man,
and you know what?
Incredible.
I do thank God for the military, because that's who took me in. It was the United States Marine Corps. And they gave me an M16. I was like, oh, yeah. can I shoot people? They're like, well, the ones we tell you, they're like, well, you got issues, don't you? Yeah, certainly. So, well, come on in. But that was back when they really needed, they were in straits for new Marines. But I'll tell you what, God can redeem the worst that the enemy has.
Yeah.
And that's the message of hope we continue to proclaim through All Things Possible Ministries.
Victor, did you have any Christian influence in your life early on? Anything
Absolutely.
At all?
Absolutely. I mean, I was born Catholic, and we became Baptist. My mother then brought us through the charismatic deal, and that's and then eventually I got saved.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's what's crazy is all this dysfunction I saw in it. We would be in and out of the church. So for me, the church didn't, on one level, didn't really offer hope to me. Because I thought, wow, is, you know, my mother's following Jesus, but wow, our life sucks, you know, is this the best it's going to be? And it wasn't until I was actually in the Marine Corps, because I had stiff-armed church and religion and all of that to some degree, and I got a letter from my biological dad when I was about 20, and he said, I know I've never been there for you. And basically, he took responsibility as a man and as a father. He said, I know you think I'm crazy, but this time I'm crazy for Jesus Christ. He had given his life to the Lord, and when I saw that his life was genuinely changed, Kevin, I said, I want some of that, because that's real power.
He's a power.
And you know what? I mean, he did. He got saved, and he wasn't perfect. It's never about perfection, right?
But direction, not perfection. Yep.
And his life changed.
Yep. Yep. That's the power of the gospel. I think that's what you're looking for. I think there's a lot of churches that don't understand the power of the gospel. Maybe they haven't experienced it themselves. Maybe they don't have faith in it. They don't understand they've got a nuclear warhead in their hands when they're preaching that thing.
Right.
You know, just not really a sense of the power of it. And yet Paul says, Romans 1:16, this is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. You know, this is powerful stuff. And I guess you had to see it. You had to understand that, didn't you?
Yeah. And you know what? All too often, I think people settle for just Christian religious stuff versus the person and the power of Christ and his spirit and the word of God. You know, and people have to be careful, especially when they're used to it, you know, because not only do I speak in youth prisons, you know, we do public high school assemblies and even Christian schools. I see so many messed up kids who are attending even Christian schools because a lot of times parents have taken their kids and their kids are messed up. So they put them in a Christian school, which to me is a Christian version of a youth prison.
Yeah.
In many ways, and they say, fix my kid.
Yeah.
And that's where I just go, you know what? Looky here. Here's the reality. You know, you're divorced. You cheated. Yeah. You know, or you're addicted. You're being the worst example of what Christ can be for a child. And now you messed up their life through all this turmoil and trauma of a broken family. And now you're going to put them in a Christian school. And still, you're not going to live a life following Christ, but you're going to say, okay, teachers, fix my kid. Chaplain, fix my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it gets to the point they bring to me, and you know, and I'm like, gosh, hey, parents, you need to get your lives together.
Yeah.
And of course, two solid Christian parents don't mean that their kids are going to walk with the Lord because it's culture. But but just like you stated the stats earlier, so many families are just blown out.
Oh man!
And even in the church, and it's not about just going to church; it's about being the church, living it, and not perfect. And it's never about perfection, but direction and hope.
Yeah, we love to say direction, not perfection, man. It's all trajectory, where you're headed. There could be a nice little goody-two-shoe little Christian kid raised in a Christian home, but his trajectory is like down, down, down. You got a guy in a maximum security prison. You know, he's not starting in a very good position, but, man, his trajectory is where it needs to go.
Right.
It's towards Christ. And
I tell folks, you know, being in – I tell these kids I speak to in jail and in foster care homes, especially in the jails, I go, look, being in jail is not the worst place you can be, you know.
Yeah.
You think about it, most of the New Testament was written from there.
Yeah.
This is a time for you to really get your life right with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you tried and following the world and being cool or gangbanging or doing drugs, where did it get you? And I tell them, too, hey, you know, where's your favorite rapper? They come and visit you? The music that you've been programmed to, you know, whatever it is, Are those people coming in here? No, it's people who love Christ and mm-hmm. trying to demonstrate. And we need more people doing it.
Yeah.
If I can say one thing to your listening audience, is first go to my website, victormarks.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Yeah.
That's going to give people an idea of what we do and how we do it and how to pray for us. And then we'll encourage them. If God puts it on your heart, find a local area youth facility and try to find the chaplain or volunteer coordinator. And more likely than not, because there's probably 1,400 youth facilities in our country, most of them don't even have a chaplain.
Wow.
I mean, you wow. want to know, this is a huge black guy, but I was in Texas, and where we were doing ministry was the intake center for all of Texas. Every kid was arrested and going to do a minimum of 2 years, had to go through this intake, right?
Okay. There
were, and I think there were 18 units in there. This little youth prison had over 300 churches surrounding it within a 30-minute radius.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what? On Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, it was their religious hour. These kids would come out of their pods, sit in a classroom, 18 different pods, and they would tell me either with a Bible or not, sit there, and they would wait 10 minutes. 10 minutes to see if a Christian from any church would come in and give a Bible study and do a little worship. Do you know, they had been there for, that youth president had been there for 10 years and never had 18 Christians come to it until we got there. And when we got there, I was so taken back because the guards would look. And you know what happened? These kids would be sitting there waiting 10 minutes. No Christian shows up.
Take
off. Their Bible up and turn the TV on.
Yeah.
And I would speak at churches in the area and I'd say, look, I'm going to show y'all grace first. I'm going to say y'all didn't know this, didn't realize it. Boom, good. But now you do. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Tag your it.
And again, people get scared. They don't know what's going on. But when they go, the one thing a person will experience is the Lord shows up with them in a huge way.
That's where Jesus loves to go. It was, you know, he went directly to the publicans and sinners. That's where he went because that was his ministry. He came to heal people who knew they were sick. And those who are in a maximum security prison or in a youth correction facility, they know they're sick. They at least been told that by the civil magistrate. And it's a great opportunity to do what Jesus would do. What do you expect, though? You walk out there, okay, and you've got 300 inmates. What are you looking at?
Well, you know, first time people, there's always this level of anxiety of, and the best story I can give, there was a lady, a grandmother who wanted to come in, but she was so nervous and we prayed with her. She said, come on, we'll take you in. Mm-hmm. You can be part of our outreach and we'll even put you in a little pod with little kids. Okay. Just little bitty kids, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds, that you can just visit with, do a little Bible study. It'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So all of us went in, we filled up the 18 pods. Unfortunately, she got put in the wrong pod, Kevin. She didn't go to the little ones. She went to the repeat offenders.
Okay.
These are 18, 19-year-old, 17, hardened, you know, been in multiple times. They walk in there and shut and lock the door, and it's just her with 25 of these kids.
Grandma. And 25 of these repeat offenders.
Yeah, and she's sitting there, and she tries to start talking, and she is so scared that the ringleader of this one unit said, ma'am, are you scared? She said, yes. He goes, well, let me tell you something. I give you my word. You've got nothing to be afraid of. No one here is going to hurt you because, one, look at you. You're a grandmother. You've never done anything wrong.
Uh-huh.
You've never been in jail. And yet you're coming here to visit us. We're going to honor and respect you, whatever you want to say. Guess what? The end of that 1 hour, we're all pulling out. We're regrouping, counting. We can't find her.
Okay.
Our search can't find her. She is in there. We're having to knock through the window saying, Grandma, you need to come out. She's like, just one more minute. They were having the best time. And that sweet gal, we love her. And she said, one of the most amazing experiences. So it's and we'll help mm-hmm. people get plugged in.
That's great.
Wherever they live, to be part of.
What kind of stories can you give? We just have a few minutes left, Victor. But what kind of stories can you give us concerning those who've listened to the word and responded, and you start to see some discipleship going on? I mean, you've got some great stories, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we've seen amazing fruit. This is a high fruit bearing ministry.
Yep.
Again, we're humbled. I mean, one year we saw 2,000 kids come to faith
in
Christ. And I've got over 5,000 letters just here in my office that are categorized, because that's how we do a lot of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
One way. The other way is we train up people and we encourage them to go in, and they go in weekly and disciple these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are hungry. Now, it is very tough when they get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a hard transition, is when they get out. Because what they're going back to, and you know, and unfortunately, we don't have the resources financially or the manpower to follow up. And that's what the church is supposed to be there for.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
But the church is failing
in a
very huge way.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about Jesus saying, "Hey, don't forsake these little kids that come to me," and you couple that with when I was in jail, you came and visited me. I think you put those two together, and you've got the center of God's heart.
Amen. Amen. Powerful, powerful. And let's encourage folks. I would like at least 100 people listening to this program to respond to this and really understand the call to getting out there and doing what they can. I mean, not everybody's called to be a great preacher that talks to tens of thousands of people like you do, Victor, but man, if there's a little group of 20 people and there's a grandma that that can reach out to them, boy, there's got to be 100 people listening right now to really respond to this and get some equipping at victormarks.com. Is there anything else folks can do, Victor?
Well, we need people to pray for us. And again, go into that website or sign up on our Facebook, track with us. We even have a YouTube video with a YouTube channel, Victor Marks on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think we're close to 11 million views. We can't get enough people praying for us for mm-hmm. the impact that we're making mm-hmm. because it is a high spiritual warfare
mm-hmm.
type of ministry, and the power of prayer makes a difference. But the last thing I would just say is people listen to this. It's not about, you don't have to be a former gang member. You don't have to be jail time. It's not about that. It's not about ability. It's about availability. And if mm-hmm. they're just willing, they can contact us. We'll plug them in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need prayer warriors too. So victormarks.com. Let us know that you heard us on Kevin's show here
on
Generations Radio, and we'll be stoked.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea is let's homeschool them. Let's disciple our kids. And let's prepare them to get out there and make a bigger impact for Jesus in opportunities like these.
Exactly. It's not about isolation with homeschooling. It's about equipping and then engaging them. Because homeschoolers are scary, man. I mean, I've met more kids who are just like, holy smokes, and adults, just like yourself, going, wow, you know, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah,
so, I tell you what. Y'all keep me in mind if y'all have a conference.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
That's a good fit for me. We can come down and try to engage people to know this is a valid way to reach and even we had for the longest time we had homeschool kids pen paling kids who were in jail.
That's a great concept.
Cool beans, man.
And Victor, the new movie, Victor Mark's Story, is that available for folks to view online? How do they get that?
Amazon.com is probably the quickest way, or right from our website.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, it's in 14 languages now with subtitles. So everything from Farsi to Spanish to Chinese. I mean, it's amazing. Get a copy and watch what God does with it. It is made for non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians are encouraged watching it because of the message of hope.
I would highly recommend it. Very, very powerful movie, well-produced, and has a great message, folks. The Victor Marks movie available at Amazon.com, or check it out at victormarks.com as well. Victor, thanks so much for joining us, man. I appreciate what you're doing. We're going to pray for your ministry and come back on the show sometime.
Thank you, my fellow warrior. I look forward to it.
Well, you heard what he said, my friends. This is a great ministry for Christian families, Christian homeschool families. who might be interested in getting out there. Man, it's not just about isolating your family. It's about protecting, yes. It's about not feeding your kids out to the public schools to get the wrong worldview, but it's to prepare them in order to get out there and make an impact for the Lord in whatever area God calls us. And certainly this would be a wonderful area in which we as families, as Christian families, could get involved and start discipling the nations in some of these youth facilities around America. Friends, check out Victor Marks at victormarks.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.